Welcome to Live from HCIC 2023, a podcast series bringing you front row insights from the industry's brightest minds. In this 12-part series, we delve into the heart of the trends impacting health systems with leading experts, senior executives, and thought leaders, as recorded live at the Healthcare Internet Conference in November of 2023. This series is brought to you by Greystone, Bowstring Media, and Touchpoint Media. Listen in as we hear from our industry leaders on the latest innovative strategies and efforts that are shaping our space.
Okay, I'm here with Kathy Smith, and I'm excited to chat with you. We haven't had a chance to sit down and talk.
We have not.
So I'm really excited today. You and I know each other from a variety of different places, but you know, some people that are watching us or listening in, they may not know about you. Do you mind starting off sharing a little bit about yourself, your background, and where we're at now?
Absolutely. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here. It's really fun to be able to sit down with you and to have the opportunity to share a little bit about myself. So I'm Kathy Smith. I'm Chief Marketing and Digital Officer at Roper St. Francis Healthcare. We're in Charleston, South Carolina, the beautiful Charleston, South Carolina. It's otherwise known as the Low Country and that part of South Carolina. I just joined Roper St. Francis Healthcare. I say just, it's been a little over a year and a half.
Yeah.
But prior to that, I was actually at the same health system up in Baltimore for 20 years.
Wow.
And then prior to that, I was in pharmaceutical PR and marketing. So it was just time to try something new, to move to another part of the country after accomplishing a great deal over those 20 years. And there's just so much opportunity with Roper St. Francis Healthcare, and it's been a real joy and a no-regret move.
Yeah, well, and you know, what's really interesting, being a leader in our space, right? Having the opportunity to kind of relocate and move, I've done that a couple of times myself.
Yes.
It's really exciting. There's sort of a little bit of a rush, right? That you're coming into a new organization.
That's right.
And being able to kind of look around and kind of reset and maybe even start to expand on some of your thoughts and even amplify it even more. But, you know, the one thing I want to talk with you today about is that our industry in and of itself is pretty complicated. Mm-hmm. You know, when I talk to, you know, family, friends about what I do and the healthcare industry, they have a hard time trying to understand.
Yeah.
Us, because we have complex organizations, right?
That's right. Very complex.
And there are some organizations, some health systems that are more complex than others. And you and I were, you know, I want to talk a little bit about that, because where you're at now is one of those that, if you would put a spectrum of complexity, you're kind of leaning on the most complex organization I've heard of. Can you talk a little
Absolutely.
Bit about that?
Absolutely. Yeah, happy to. And you know, I did come from being 20 years with a complex academic medical health system.
Right.
I've done a lot of community expansion over the years, so that set me up really well for what I did walk into. So yeah, Roper St. Francis Healthcare, it's been in the Charleston region for 160 years. Like, it has a tremendous legacy in that market. However, things are always changing. So we were physician-founded by the Medical Society of South Carolina. Mm-hmm. They were our primary owner for all those years. And then in 2019, prior to my arrival there, we entered into a joint ownership model with Bon Secours Mercy Health.
Okay.
And so now it's the Medical Society of South Carolina and Bon Secours Mercy Health. So that has been a big evolution for our health system. It's wonderful, wonderful partnerships, allowing us to have a lot of scale and efficiencies and, you know, shared accountabilities and shared knowledge. But it does make it very complex for an organization to make that kind of change. And, you know, we're always still evolving. For me, as a marketing communications leader coming into this new health system, one of the things that I really tried to be very cautious of is not walking in thinking, well, I've been in a health system for 20 years, so of course I know everything about health system operations, marketing, communications, and strategies, because we do a lot of the same stuff, but there's absolute need to look at the market, to look at who your customers are, to look at the culture, to look at what your strategic priorities are, and to pivot and tailor what you're going to do around the present, learning from your past and learning from all those experiences that you've had. But you really have to look at it with fresh eyes.
You know, that's the balance, right? If you think about it, right? Me as a digital person, I go into health systems, and I've worked inside of five or six health systems in my career. And each and every one, you go in, and it's easy to say, oh yeah, I've seen that before. I know what to do here.
That's right.
But there's a uniqueness of health systems in their community. And I think it rises from their role in the community that they are so dramatically different.
Mm-hmm.
And so coming in as a leader, in part, they want to hire you because you have all this experience. So you fast track a lot of this. But you're almost caught with at the beginning of saying, hold on, I need to take some time to assess where we're at. How did you go about doing
this? Yeah, it was so fun. Like, that was one of the things I was really excited about with making a move, is having the opportunity to do that. And fortunately, the CEO and leadership team that hired me encouraged me to do that. So I actually did have, 60 days, 90 days before I had to present my strategic priorities and discoveries to the board. But it was really, really amazing. And it was very appreciated, because I did come in and set up meetings with literally 60, 70 different stakeholders, including having deep dives, of course, with members of my team, but all the physician leaders, the administrative leaders, board members, really listened to what they thought marketing communications is, should be, and what their sort of drivers were or interests were. That led me to then say, all right, I have this wheel of discovery. And I identified about 8 different areas. One of the biggest ones was, it was not an insights-driven culture yet. So there was not market research. There wasn't a hardwiring in the least about, when big decisions were being made, let's go ask the beneficiaries of that product or of that service, or, you know, go out and ask our internal audiences what they think about something prior to making those decisions. So I did a lot of brand work right away. So a brand study, actually multiple sources of brand studies, so that I could compare and contrast, so that it wasn't what they think our organization is, but it's, well, really what the customers are saying it is, so that then we could prioritize where we were, what we needed to focus on. So those insights were really important. And I continued to bring that into our decision-making table over the course of my first year there. So people now are actually eager to ask me, hey, can we do a pulse survey on this? Or what do you think about doing a very specific study in the market about this service line, which has been a real achievement.
Yeah, you know, that's great that you were able to achieve that, because I think that's one of the hardest things. When we are, as an industry, right, coming from the clinical side, we're very much evidence-driven, right? And the clinical aspects, doctors know how to perform the procedures, what they do, their practice on their patients. Yet it's oftentimes when you get into the marketing, the branding, what the perception is, and all of these different stakeholders that are out there, you know, you ask one person and you get, you know,
that's right,
you get a unique answer. That's, if you ask 60 stakeholders, you get probably 60 different responses from them. And then you bring in the voice of the customer, right? That becomes really sometimes a bit of a challenge. And, as you went down this path here, starting to bring now this kind of discipline into what you do, share a little bit with, like, some of those challenges that you might have had, because I think many of us are facing that right now.
So I think it's been more sort of realization of opportunity, bringing the data to the table. It's been very well received, and it has driven action. So, for example, the first brand study that we did, it showed that we actually had great status in the market. We actually had very high preference across the majority of our specialties. But not surprisingly, in a couple of key specialties that were very important to our health system, we saw that, you know, obviously the academic medical center might get a halo effect because of being an AMC. So it enabled me to come in and drive that argument of, when we do advertising, when we're going to market, it's really important that we're not generic. It's got to be extremely subspecialized. We really need to make sure that we're bringing that attention to the expertise that we actually have.
Right.
And even though we're not an academic medical center, we've got physicians who have come from AMCs that have just chosen to come to Queenity Health. So that wasn't a hard argument to make. It actually just validated our go-to-market strategies and our message platform and our creative. So that was really helpful. The other thing, though, is we, in my first year there, we implemented Epic, so inclusive of MyChart and all that comes with that. We're also now in the middle of implementing Workday and Laborlytics and really focusing on modernizing our technology. But when it came to our brand study, where we were looking at what technologies people are interested in, of course, online scheduling and the ability to have digital patient access engagement, appointment reminders, et cetera, rose to the top as an area of opportunity for us. So that actually helped us to jumpstart. It served as a catalyst for our operations teams to say, oh, wow, people are noticing that we're deficient in some of these areas. Mm. We're going to try to accelerate that. And so that was really a helpful catalyst to bring that data to the table, mm-hmm. those insights to the table to say, if we do this well, because of our brand status, if we can also win on convenience,
yeah.
we actually are going to gain back some of that market share that we might be losing to some of our peers in the market who aren't as evolved in that area too.
And I think that's really great. Having led the marketing insights function at organizations, I think using those insights truly in that way as insights. Yeah, yes, reputational metrics matter, understanding your brand and the placement in the marketplace, but really finding opportunities where we can excel, right? Leveraging what we know. And I think when you find that sweet spot of we have strength from a clinical perspective, we have some opportunities from an operational perspective, and we have desire from the marketplace to make changes, that creates a unique opportunity for right. us. And so you leaned in on this.
Yes,
right?
Definitely. Also leaned in on it in helping to prioritize our marketing communications initiatives. Because there was a very long list when I walked in of things that my leadership team wanted me to be able to do. Now, everyone has those financial limitations where you come in and you're all like psyched and ready to go. And then it's, well, you know, there's no money for this. There's no money for that. But it's our job to try to do the best that we can with the resources we have. So speaking of insights, I also did a digital maturity assessment. So bringing in a trusted partner, like things that you do for clients, and you know, there's other folks who do that kind of work too, brought in that third party to say, let's look at your web, let's look at your other digital assets, let's look at your online presence. Because of course, I walk in the door, they've added digital to my title to emphasize the importance of digital. No, right. I'm not the CIO, but to focus on that. And you know, it's our website's terrible. You know, we don't do this well online. We don't do that online. I'm like, okay, let's go get some data and
right.
see how we're doing. Because they'd never had that before.
Right.
They hadn't been exposed to, they'd had our data, how many web hits we're getting, mm. how many followers we have on social, but not in comparison with our peers in the market. And so doing that type of insight study of a trusted third party coming in, looking at the competitive landscape and saying, you're actually doing quite well.
Mm.
Yes, there's these areas of opportunity,
right?
But those areas of opportunity is where then I could say, hey, leadership team, I don't really need all those millions of dollars right now, because to really enhance our revenue, I can focus on these things and make a difference. Yes, we would love to have better content on our site, and we'd love to get a whole new content management system so that we have that nimble personalization. But for right now, if we can focus on online search and selection, having a robust directory,
mm-hmm.
having online scheduling, mm-hmm. having fantastic appointment reminders and access engagement,
mm-hmm.
we're going to win on revenue. And then when we have the funds, we can invest in doing all this other stuff. But for now, you can relax because we're actually doing pretty well.
Yeah.
But the data had to show that.
And it outlined, and it almost gave you a natural path, the progression to get there. You're not boiling the ocean from day
one. That's right.
Right.
Well, I wanted to.
We all do, yeah. right, when we come in. And, you know, I always say to whenever I start a new organization, I need 100 days to kind of assess where we're at and where the opportunities yeah. are. And then coming back and saying, okay, look,
yeah.
long term,
yeah.
we're going to get there.
That's right.
But the way we're going to do it is the most progressive mm-hmm. way. I sometimes coyly call it, you know, I'm going to think revolutionary but act evolutionary.
Yeah.
But using those insights
yeah.
to do that is significant.
Yeah.
So now that you've kind of introduced that to the organization, and now people are starting to really see the value of
yeah.
that, they're coming back to you and asking for pulse studies and other things. Mm-hmm. Tell us how it is now. You're a year in. Almost two.
Yeah.
Okay. So tell us.
Yeah.
Give us an update. Where are we at?
Absolutely. So, you know, it's been a wonderful journey to see how if a marketing communications leader comes in and is a collaborator,
mm-hmm.
and a catalyst. You don't have to own everything,
mm-hmm.
but you collaborate and you bring information to the table that can help serve as a catalyst. I've seen that happen very well
mm-hmm.
In the last 2 years. And what I mean by that is one of the things that I think we in our industry can do is look big picture and a look across the organization, across disciplines. So one of my mantras that I stole from our CIO was people, process, technology, right? So that phrase of people, process, technology, well, yes, that can apply to a lot of technology projects, IT projects, but it really applies to so much. So with people, it's about looking at, okay, what talent do I have? What staff do I need? What partners do I need? but then it's also being a collaborator with people across the organization. Mm-hmm. So really aligning marketing communications with legal, with IT, with compliance, with our clinical operators, with our physician leaders, and being just a partner with them and showing how this is not what I do or what you do, it's what we do. Technology has been a huge focus of ours. It's a big pillar of our strategic plan. And what I mean by that is, yes, we own the website. We own a lot of the, we own the social, but we can't do that without partnerships across our institution. It's not just marketing's job. It's our institution's job to manage what people are doing online and to work together because it all connects. But people don't necessarily see that.
Yeah.
And then with process, there's been a lot of focus on just aligning around collective decision-making, being very accountable to each other. Mm-hmm. And so that's been a real joy to bring that kind of framework and focus to our health system. And I think it's been very appreciated.
You know, that framework, as you call it, I love that term, because it really, it kind of illustrates how you take a very complex problem and you can dissect it and in different ways, building the partnerships, taking the insights, looking at, you know, what the perception is and combining that all together into, you know, into this new plan here. But what you're describing really, Kathy, is the fact that you're a change agent, right? All the work that and the history and the experience that you have in marketing and communications and digital as a discipline, that's important.
Yeah.
But what's probably more important is that softer social skills around how do you bring change into an organization? Right. What are your thoughts on that?
Totally agree with you. And, you know, for many years, I've seen the impact that my peers and I and you have had on becoming part of the operations. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're not just the ones who promote the product. We are part of developing that product. And I think that in the past, that wasn't always understood. And in many cases, it might not be well received sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, like, why are you in this lane of, why are you so concerned about how we're going to build this online scheduling platform? Or why are you so involved in this sort of customer journey? But I think most people now understand how valuable having marketing communications at the table can be. In just making that product even stronger while it's being built and then being the ones to amplify it. So, I think it's changed. I think we're changing.
Yeah, we are changing as an industry. I would agree with you. You know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, when I came into the industry, it was like marketing was only one P, right? Promotion.
Yeah.
And at this point in time, it's not only the four Ps, as you're describing, but I think the most valuable thing is building up the tools, the capabilities to get those insights from the actual users, the different stakeholders. And our stakeholder audience is our patients, but they're also our employees, some of the work that we do internally to help build our internal brand and help work with organizations. But in addition, you know, being able to use that voice of customer to really give us the definitive decision maker.
That's right.
When you reach these hard decision points.
That's right. That's right. And then voice of the customer also came in those listening interviews where one of the biggest opportunities that was pointed out by many of my colleagues and customers across the organization was, when I come to your team, I want an integrated experience. Mm-hmm. And so I think one of the things that we've really focused on as a team over the last year and a half is being more integrated in an integrated team. And what I mean by that is, I'm lucky that all my time at my prior employer and then here, we were fully integrated team.
Mm-hmm.
Some of our colleagues don't have that, and there's silos. There's silos in marketing, there's silos in digital, there's silos in comms, there's silos in physician liaison, you know, that kind of thing. And so I'm lucky in this organization where it's fully integrated, but that doesn't mean that the teams within the team are working together.
Right.
So that's been a really fun journey for all of us. And the team's been extremely appreciative of being allowed to let the doors come down.
Yeah.
And to actually understand what it means to work in an interdisciplinary way. But it takes a lot of effort.
Yeah.
To do that. It cannot be understated how much time and effort and education it takes to do that. But it becomes a more rewarding professional experience for most people when they don't get told, stay in this lane only.
Right.
And see what the power of us working together actually is.
I love that. I think that's really, really inspirational to hear that, right? To think about that. And we need more people like you in this space, right? To help,
thank you.
Help our industry, because I think we often get lost in that. And we feel a little bit frustrated sometimes, right? With how we can, the inability to change sometimes what it feels like our industry. But I think it's great. It's not lost on me, right? Change management, one of the major disciplines of change management, the 8 steps that John Cotter outlined. One of the steps is never lose your momentum, never lose your drive to do this. Kathy, thanks so much for spending some time with me. This has been a great conversation.
I appreciate it too.
Thank you for watching live from HCIC 2023. We hope these insights have sparked new ideas and conversations. A special thanks to the industry experts featured on our show and to Greystone, Bowstring Media, and Touchpoint Media for making these discussions available. For more episodes and exclusive content, please visit greystone.net, touchpoint.health, or subscribe through your favorite podcast listening platform. If you want to be part of more conversations like this one, please make sure to attend the Healthcare Internet Conference in Austin, Texas. You can find more details at hcic.net.